This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls, to the next episode of Ingles Ian, a Cowboys Ride for Free podcast. And as always, your good friend and mine, the hater of Spencer Sanders, Mr. Ian, how you doing today, buddy?
Yo, it's not without cause. It's not without cause. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I'm doing good. Happy to be back in the saddle. I'm starting to prep for football season a little bit. And I'm excited. 50
days out, something like that, 40 days?
I think we're less than 6 weeks out from week zero. And then I don't know how many days we are from September 1st, from the Cowboys' first game. Give me a sec and I would assume it's less than 50, 44 days until
44 days.
September 1st. So, I mean, we're getting close. That's, again, 6 weeks away and 2 days. But
and there's been all sorts of crazy, like, it almost makes me a little sad. Like, I love college football. I love college football as much as anybody, but it's really sad that like everything is now revolving around college football. You know, SEC media days are going on and people are already calling for NIL. Lane Kiffin's like, there should be a salary cap and all this other stuff. And like Big 12 was last week and Aranda was like, oh yeah, we totally called a timeout that we got that shouldn't have been given to us, which probably would have allowed OSU to win that football game. But it's all like, Notre Dame is coming out saying, hey, we want to stay independent and get $75 million a year.
I don't blame them for that.
Well, and I also read something that CBS is saying they will basically outbid almost anybody for the Big 12 at this point.
I've said this for a pretty long time that I've wanted the Big 12 to go to CBS just because they could take over that 230 slot, maybe some other slot with CBS. But having that and possibly being the flagship of the new Big 12, at least, would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
And gives us the national network. Could do some streaming on Paramount Plus, which I don't hate. Could also, you know, have a few games on CBS Sports Network, which isn't the worst thing. And, you know, you get Brad Nessler calling your best game of the week. So I don't think you can go wrong with that. I also heard that NBC might try to go after them, which would be really interesting because we haven't seen them do stuff outside of Notre Dame for a really long time. Would they hire from within? Would they hire on the outside? That's very interesting to me.
Yeah, well, the big thing there is CBS is on the verge of losing out on all of college football, you know, because the SEC is transitioning to ESPN. There's a lot of shift there, and if they're not careful, the only big property in college sports they're going to have is the tournament, the NCAA tournament. And so if that happens, means they have this much sports besides the NFL.
They have Army Navy.
Okay, that's a game a year.
It's a very important game.
It's a very important game of the year, but it's different than their current catalog of games.
They also have, what is it, a partial deal with the Mountain West, a deal with CUSA. They have deals with Army and Navy, I think, because a lot of their games are on CBS Sports Network. They have the NFL. They have golf, partial. They got the Masters and the PGA Championships. They got two of the big-time majors.
Well, yeah,
they have the Sun Bowl still, but
We are the United States of football at this point. I mean, that is just what drives eyeballs across every sport. I mean, the NBA does fine numbers. Major League Baseball, for as many games as they play, does fine numbers. But we are the United States of football. And that's just all there is to it. I mean, the average college game gets more viewers than an NBA Finals game.
Yeah. No, I think it's something about the rarity of the sport. NBA is on for half the year. MLB is on for half the year. NFL, I think, is like 20 weeks. College football, 15 weeks. It's the rarity of it.
Right. No, yes. And yes, I agree with that. But it's just that is where we are as a country now, and that's where the money is. And it's just, it's crazy to me. Like, you know, these kids, some of these kids are getting $2-3 million. Like, I heard, I was listening to somebody on Sirius XM saying the going rate for a 4-star cornerback is pushing $750,000 a year in NIL money.
Dang. I mean, it's nuts out here, man. That's got to be.
Like, if Oklahoma State doesn't win a natty in the next 2 years, they're never going to win unless something seismically changes. Revenue sharing, that kind of stuff.
In the next 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah, I know. That's why. Well, that's why I don't know if you recall or not. That's why I was like so heartbroken after last season and losing the Big 12 championship game. It was like, this was our last chance. And I honestly believe that. And I still believe that. That was our last legitimate chance, unless something I cannot foresee happening happens, which is essentially revenue sharing.
I would assume that at some point, I would assume that Oklahoma State would join the SEC if given an opportunity. But even then, is that even, I don't know if that's worth it.
Well
there's always been, in college football, there's always been about 5 or 6 programs that could win a national title each year. Now it's kind of been acknowledged.
If they had gone to 8, I think I think it would have expanded faster if it had gone to 8, but it has been so drilled down to this really small pool, and the way they choose the pool really screws it up. Like, if you had every Power 5 school or every Power 5 champion getting into the playoff every year, you would have a lot more. But because you have people who are very biased picking, then all of a sudden it's not a true representation. Because it's perceived, there's so much perception in college football, and always has been, as part of the sport. But if you had gone to an 8-team playoff right away, I think we wouldn't be here right now. Because the Pac-12 would always be there. The Big 12 would always be there. Notre Dame would probably almost always be there, which they probably shouldn't be either. But that's a whole other conversation. But it would also change scheduling, recruiting, like... It just pisses me off.
I think it is safe to say that ESPN has ruined college football in some ways. I mean, you look at, like, they own every bowl game now, practically. The Sun Bowl and the Holiday Bowl are, I think, are the only two on the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. Those are the only three that are not going to be on ESPN this year. I think it's a purposeful thing that they want to hold it to 4.
Oh, it's definitely.
As soon as they expand, I mean, I feel like we could see some switchback or whatever. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, once they expand, Fox can get involved.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, Fox, from everything I've heard and read, they are the main driver with UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten.
Which is weird, because doesn't Fox own, or ESPN own Fox?
No, ESPN and Fox are different companies. Fox, they bought Fox, but Fox in, okay, so for antitrust reasons, when Disney bought Fox, they got Fox Media, but they didn't get Fox Sports. Fox Sports is a whole other entity, because if they kept Fox Sports, they would have triggered antitrust violations and things.
Okay.
So that Fox, if I remember correctly, Because that's a part of, like, Wall Street Journal, New York Times. There's a lot of media outlets that are part of Fox in all the regional networks. Stayed under that umbrella, and I think they spun them off to Bally for the majority of them. They're a different entity. Yeah, and so I remember that. I remember that distinctly.
Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot more sense now, because I kind of forgot about that. I don't think I ever got, like, an understanding of it. So, also, UCLA and USC, the Big Ten is weird. And, like, at least with Oklahoma and Texas, it made sense, because they were neighboring states.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're California's in the same state. Quotes. Yeah. Well, and that's the issue, right, is that, okay, for football, well, okay, two major points here. First, for every student that isn't a football player, that's going to be awful. If you're having to go from USC to Rutgers for a Tuesday basketball game. That's going to be awful.
Oh, gosh.
Someone, I was listening to somebody, they were explaining, like, they had done the math. And essentially, if you're a non-football player, you will only be on campus for your home games. You're going to be a virtual student after that. So for those sports,
wow.
I could see that, like, tanking recruiting. Why would you want to do that to yourself? Have you ever made that flight, like, coast to coast? No. It is awful.
When I was like 9, I did, was it Oklahoma to New Jersey? And I don't remember any of that because I was, again, 9.
Well, I mean, the flights are hard, but it's harder. So when I was living in Pittsburgh, I had this big interview in Seattle, which that's a long flight as it is, but it's a 3-hour time difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I naturally woke up at 4:45 in the morning, Seattle time, and my interview wasn't for another 7 hours. And so I've got to, like, figure out what to do. I've been awake longer than I'm used to being, like, completely threw my body clock off, and then I got to go back. And I know there's, like, stuff in, like, research in the NFL. I don't remember which direction. I think it's west to east, that if a team has to go from west to east in the NFL, they have, like, a really bad losing record, like, really bad. So you're asking children, essentially. I mean, you're a child to me in some respects, Ian. I'm not to be the old man here, but I mean, it is kids to do this every week, because I mean, you know how these things can go, where you could be on 3 road games in a row. And is the university really going to have their football team out on the East Coast for 3 weeks in a row, having their kids doing remote learning in some hotel or conference center for 3 weeks in a row? Because I know at least the NFL, they generally will stay on one coast if they're making sort of a swing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, let's go back to basketball. Are you going to go, what if you have a Tuesday road game, USC to Michigan, and a Saturday home game back at USC? That's just brutal. That's mean. It's not, like, that is not okay to do that. Yeah. Even the pros do barely do that kind of thing.
It just doesn't, add up to me. I don't get it. I don't get this move. I know Fox is driving it, but there's got to be some way they can call somebody's bluff. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't make sense. I think I'm more mad about this than the Texas OU, to be completely honest with you.
Well, again,
because
they're
making this move based off money. Texas is going back with Texas A&M. OU is going to, you know, try to compete with the big boys. I don't blame them. This doesn't make sense to me. It still doesn't, because it's like, okay, nothing is close to you. You're getting rid of all your longstanding rivals. You're not really doing anything to better the West Coast. You're hurting it. If those two teams are gone, the West Coast becomes a wasteland almost. I don't know what you would do there. If you're the Pac-12, you're ultimately screwed.
Oh, no, they're dead. They're dead. But to go back a little bit with OU and Texas and the SEC, is something that most people I've heard and talked to don't bring up is Fayetteville to Norman, 4.5 hours. You know, like, Arkansas is really close. You know, Mizzou is really close. I mean, they were Big 8 school, you know, they were still, so that's, there's a lot of regionality there still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were rivals with Missouri. They used to travel there. Again, Arkansas, it's actually like 3 hours, at least from my place. A&M, Louisiana, yeah. I think Baton Rouge is like 10 hours. Not the worst.
No, not at all. But the other thing that I've barely heard talked about, but it is true, is USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten has basically ended the Rose Bowl, being the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, because they always get the Big Ten team and the Pac-12 team. Now there's not really a point. You think the Rose Bowl would have stepped in and did something, which honestly, I'm okay. I know the Rose Bowl is like all traditional, but I think the new tradition should be the, like, something else. Have, like, the Duke's Mayo Bowl be the premier New Year's Day game.
Here's the thing about the Rose Bowl is they were always, because when the CFP wanted to expand, they wanted the Rose Bowl to be part of it. and the Rose Bowl refused because they always wanted to be on New Year's Day. And now the CFP can be like, whatever, bro, you're done. We don't care. You're not a big deal no more. Like, they can basically, they can basically dictate to the Rose Bowl what they're going to do, because the Rose Bowl doesn't mean jack.
Not anymore. It's kind of, it's the king is dead. Long live the king in that area. What are you going to do? I mean, like, they're the reason that the CFP cannot expand. They're the reason the playoff is played on New Year's Eve at times and like December 28th on others. They've just been a massive roadblock. Mm-hmm. And now the roadblock is eliminated, which isn't necessarily the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just wish it happened sooner before everything got blown up. I mean, I feel sorry for the Pac-12 commissioner, man. He was living, like, running, like, Caesars Gaming or something crazy in Vegas, like, calling the shots. The big dog took a leap, and that leap became a free fall.
Part of me thinks he could salvage it. I don't know if he just needs to take from the Mountain West. I don't know if he needs to. He needs to be aggressive. And it now becomes a war between the Pac-12 and the Big 12 on who's going to take the other team's schools. I think the Big 12 would edge that out.
You would think. I mean, you got Oregon and Washington. So let me float this idea by you, because it's something I've been thinking about and been hearing chirping about as well. Is so a lot of these conferences are coming up on their grant of rights. Big 10's coming up on it. SEC's coming up on it. Big 12's coming up on it. So there's been something I've been, before I even heard it and spoke anywhere, I was thinking already, is since football is the driver, we are the United States of football, what incentive does the SEC to have to keep Vanderbilt? Would you, if you're a conference, and wouldn't you much rather have in football Oklahoma State versus Vanderbilt? Wouldn't you much rather have Kansas State versus Vanderbilt, for that matter? Like,
okay, so here's the deal with that, because I heard this on another podcast about that. A relegation system would be a really good idea for the league. However, a lot of those presidents in the colleges are good buddies, golfing buddies, steakhouse buddies. They don't really want to do that to their friend, basically. So I think it'd be really hard on some people to do that, even though it'd be the easy thing to do. The only thing the only way that that would work is a relegation. And I don't think that some presidents would be willing to do that, because if they suck and have to get relegated, let's say it's Kansas, they have to get relegated to the MAC. That's a huge drop in revenue that I don't think schools are going to be willing to take.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I've heard about the relegation idea. And everyone says, at least what I've heard, there's, for that to work, there's got to be some form of revenue sharing. And basically the idea of conferences and conference TV deals have to go away. It's got to be a league deal, to where if you are on this league level, you're making X, this league level, you're making Y. But if you're making Y, it's still enough to compete. We're talking about the professionalization of college sports, at least college football.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I've heard, and I hope this happens, well, I don't really hope it happens, because I love college football the way it is, but college football, if it breaks away, it needs to break away. The other sports need to go back to their prospective footprints. USC and UCLA basketball, they need to be in the Pac-12. You know, they don't need to be going to Pac-10. All this other stuff, all the other sports kind of need to go away. I could kind of see basketball to an extent. I could. But even then, basketball's revenue was so minimal compared to football. And I hope they enjoy it while they can, too, because football in the next 20 years will be a dying sport in the United States. Youth participation in football is dropping because of concussion fears at an alarming rate. So make the money while you can, destroy all our traditions, and then get out the door. That's basically what ESPN is doing.
Yeah, I mean, if it were to be the case, I feel like they need to do, like, separate leagues for everybody else. Because, I mean, that's what they do with lacrosse. Soccer is very different. Wrestling is very different.
Yeah.
I think that they would all just have to be, like, their own independent leagues, which I think is what you were getting at. And I think what you said, actually. So, yeah, no, I definitely agree with that sentiment.
Right. Well, because like Big 12 wrestling is like Wyoming, and there's a bunch of random schools. The idea of a single conference is probably coming to an end.
Yeah.
Which
sucks. No, I agree. Yeah, it does.
So my question is, oh, go ahead.
Well, now it's just like you have rivals with separate schools, and it's not like one straight rivalry. It's not like I hate them in every sport. It's I hate them in this sport, this sport, this sport, but we never face them in sport X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, and that's...
it's weird.
And that's what sucks, right? Because that's what makes college sports so fun, especially with conferences. For the majority of sports, you know, softball's weird, or... well, softball and baseball, it's kind of weird anyway, because their conference schedules, at least in the Big 12, aren't that long. They do a lot of non-conference games, but wrestling is weird too. But that's a great part about college sports that I think everyone's, well, I don't know if everyone, but a lot of people who are writing the checks and quote unquote making the decisions are missing, is like, it's fun to hate other people. Not in like the, I want to hate, not in the like, oh, I want to hurt kind of hate, but you know, when I was working in Tulsa, I worked in, you know, Tulsa, if you think about proximity to Big 12 schools, you got OU, OSU, K-State, KU, all within 3 or 4 hours. And then other schools. So I had pretty much every school represented in my area, in my office in Tulsa. And it made Monday morning during football season so much fun, because you got to talk a whole lot of crap. It's not like, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, my K-State friends, I'd be like, oh yeah, we, you know, they would talk crap to me if we lost in basketball, or they talk crap, I talk crap to them if they lost in football or whatever. And that's what made it great. And I just, kills me.
It's the, what we like about the sport is the regionality, but now it's becoming a national thing with a national league.
Well, and that's what everyone's saying, is college sports needs to become national. I'm like, no. The reason why college sports is great is because it's regional. Because I was talking to my dad about this. Like, if you pick, there are certain spots in the SEC. If you pick a certain spot, there's probably six schools within 100 miles, and they all loathe each other. And that's what makes it fun, you know. That you've got to, like, when you lose, you and your school loses, you got to like go into the office the next day and like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times after Oklahoma State would lose to somebody, I would definitely be wearing orange Monday morning. Be like, yeah, that's right. You won't come at me? Well, yeah, we're going to talk. Like, I would never, like, be sad about it. That's what made it great. And it's just going away. Yeah. And it sucks.
No, it definitely does. I'm with you 100% on there. I mean, it's honestly just a what are you going to do moment right there.
What are you going to do? Hopefully, yeah. Spencer Sanders has a Heisman candidate season, and we win the Natty out of nowhere, get a running back out of nowhere, and something great happens. And it's really where I'm at. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this upcoming football season. Like, we have so many question marks.
Yeah. My guess is that
9-3 and cheese ball.
Dominic will be the one to step up, and I want that to happen because I know him. We went to middle school together, so. I'm optimistic. And again, I know I joke about the 9-3 Alamo Bowl thing, but I think that is probably going to happen this year, because I've already planned two losses, Baylor and Oklahoma, and then either Kansas State or Texas will be the third.
I mean, when I went through it, I came out at 10-2, but there were a couple of question marks. That's probably what it is. I mean, to the best of our knowledge, we don't have a really good outside threat. The running back is a question, but it was a question going into last year until Warren showed up. And the next thing you know, we got a workhorse. The thing that scares me is the middle of the defense. That's really what scares me. You lose those two middle linebackers, you know.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I mean, how many starts did Malcolm have just by himself? Like 50 or 60 starts. You know, that's just so much knowledge.
He was always playing.
Yeah, he was always there. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about the season yet. We'll get a much better picture come, you know, come October, not come October, come fall camp. But still, I mean, that is just a so many question marks. And I think that's one of the, honestly, I think that's one reason why our DC left, you know. He was losing a lot of guys, and I think he knew that if he stayed in one more season, his stock would have dropped.
Yeah. I mean, for him, it's you got to do what you got to do, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Like, I don't blame him, but I'm glad we got Derek Mason. That's a really good replacement. So, yeah, we can talk about this, but I want to get into the MLB draft, if that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't followed too much, but you know that Holiday's kid went number one.
Yep. Jackson Holiday.
First Stillwater kid go. I assume it's got to be the first Stillwater kid going number one overall.
To my knowledge, it is. I think. I don't know. But yes, Jackson Holiday was selected number one overall by the Baltimore Orioles on Sunday. Stillwater High School. He's probably not going to go to Oklahoma State, but he was going to go if he wasn't drafted high. Everything I heard was either it was going to be Holiday or Drew Jones, Andrew Jones's son. He went second overall to the Diamondbacks. Other players that got drafted, Justin Campbell went to the Guardians at the 37th pick. Nolan McLean went third round to Baltimore as well. Trevor Martin went to Tampa. Both Victor Marudos and Roman Panslokar, I probably butchered that, both went to the Angels. Griffin Dorsching went to the Padres. Caden Trinkle went to the A's. And Bryce Osmond also went to the Angels. Cale Davis went to the Blue Jays. That is it for Cowboys drafted. That should be a total of 9.
That's pretty good.
Got drafted, I believe.
And the MLB draft is not like it used to be either, because they really cut down the number of minor league teams, because it used to be like, I don't know, like
40 rounds. Yeah.
Yeah. It was 700 or 800 players got picked. And that's not the case anymore. But it's also still weird because you only have so much money to spend. At least this is the way it used to be. Like, you only had so much money to spend in a certain round. And if you couldn't sign a player, you would lose players. MLB draft is not, I mean, it's getting closer, but it is, in years past, has not been anything like what we're used to, like in MLB or NBA or NFL or NBA. That's what I meant.
Yeah. So, I mean, they only have like 4 regular rounds that are in order, and then they goes to, I don't know. It's like, if the team loses a qualifying free agent, does not receive revenue sharing, and did exceed the luxury tax threshold the previous season, it is awarded a compensatory pick after the 4th round. Dodgers received a pick when Corey Seager signed with the Rangers, but lost it as part of the penalty for signing Freddie Freeman. So I think 616
weird.
Players were drafted, which is nuts. And it was like 20 rounds ish. So, I mean, props.
I also got to remember, like, the farm system in Major League Baseball is so different versus everything else. And it's also one of those things where the eligibility for drafts, like, you don't even have to declare for the draft. Like, you're just eligible. If you're a high school graduate, you're eligible. And you can also declare. So people will take kids or like late and see if they'll actually come or go to college. Like, there's a bunch of that. And even if you're selected in the draft,
and they can go
still
back
go to college. Yeah. So if you're a high schooler and you get taken in the MLB draft, you can opt out and still go to school.
Yeah, and you can go again.
Well, but the difference, the difference with baseball is that if you go to college, you have to stay for 3 years. That's the big difference. You can go to the pros right away, but if you go to college, you have to stay for 3 years.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, that's how what?
That can't be it, because
that's how it, unless they've changed in the last year or two, that is how it works.
Oh, that makes sense, because I've seen so many people that they'll have like juniors. Okay, that makes sense. What about JUCO guys?
I don't know how that works, But I know if you go to school, I would assume it's still 3 years. Because even Bryce Harper, he got his GED and started playing JUCO baseball at 16. That's why he got drafted at 19, was playing the pros by the time he was 20. Yeah. So, and honestly, to me, that's what basketball should do. Yeah. You can get drafted out of high school if you're good enough. But if you go play college ball, you got to stay for 3 years. I think that's a great, great system. It eliminates the one and dones, allows coaches to coach and develop and do their stuff. I think it's a great system.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things where I don't know about any of that. So, I mean, congrats to those that got drafted.
Yeah, here's hoping some of them stick. I mean, from all everything I've read, unless you're a high round draft pick, being a minor league baseball player just sucks. You've got to buy your own bat.
Minor league is kind of a minor leagues are rough, man, and they're going through a lawsuit, I think, with the government or something. I don't know. Crab's wild, and Rob Manfred getting booed puts a smile on my face.
Oh, baseball! What a great sport that's killing itself.
It's been a little bit of softball transfers, I think.
Yeah, saw some. We got a middle fielder from Bama. She played really well.
Somebody from UAB.
Yeah, we got one from UAB.
Brianna Evans went to A&M, and I think Hobson went to Washington. Julie Cottrell entered the portal. I assume she's going to go to Missouri with her dad.
Yeah, I expected that. Yeah.
Yeah. Bummer, because she hit that home run against Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we would be remiss to not bring up Hovland's effort, the British. That was a great effort. And everyone came after me. I wasn't saying I wasn't rooting for Victor. I was just saying that when Rory's playing his best golf, it is gorgeous to watch because he is one of the best swings on tour. But yeah, I mean, that was a heck. I haven't had that much fun watching golf in a long time because I love Hovland. He's great. I love that he's still in Stillwater and still helping out the golf team. Rory playing great. I mean, Cameron Smith needs to learn to shave that mustache because it's awful. But other than that, man, that tournament was great on the old course. That is one of those bucket list things for me. Like, one day I'll be good enough again to play the old course and I'll go over. Listeners, if you got this far, I lost my job on Friday, downsizing, economy, inflation, blah, 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 blah. Wasn't my fault, getting a nice severance, et cetera, but still, I basically didn't have anything to do last week. So I basically watched the Open for 4 days and it was awesome.
Yeah, no shame in that, man. No shame in that. Hovland looked really good. He put up a good effort. Cameron Smith with the incredible comeback. And I'm pretty sure he grew that mustache and mole just because he moved to Jacksonville. Just what I saw was like, oh, yeah, he's been living in Duval County for a little bit. He's embraced the culture there.
Look,
so
just shave the mustache. The mullet, I'll give him credit. I mean, it's not Gundy mullet, but it's solid, you know? Just shave the pedo stash, dude. Like, it is a straight-up pedo stash.
Yeah, that's a new trend. It's a new trend with a new Top Gun movie.
I haven't seen that yet. I need to go see it. Maybe
it's really good.
That's what I've heard. I've heard everyone I've heard talk to is like, it's great. And I just haven't done it. Like, I feel like I say this every time I record, like the last month of my life has just been bonkers and then some. So, well, now that I have time, maybe I'll go tomorrow. No one's going to be there at noon. I was at the theater myself, eating a hot dog, drinking a Coke, you know? Why not?
Go for it. This is like a little vacation for you. An unfortunate vacation, sucks. But...
Oh, man. I can't believe it's been almost a year since we started this thing. And I can't believe all the crap that's happened. Like, I was thinking about that today. Like, I knew we were going to record. I'm just like, wow. So much shit has happened since we started this podcast. Oh my God.
Yeah. No, definitely. It has been a whirlwind. We're even at a year, but the stuff that's happened to both you and I is nuts.
Yeah. It's just, The wild ride that has been, my friend. And my friends out there in podcast land, we love you. You hate us, but you still listen to us. So we appreciate you anyway.
Hey, we're gonna start doing this regularly. So
gotta get back in the saddle next time, right there. I'm assuming we'll start doing some season previews, some grouping previews. Maybe we'll talk about the running back room, the wide receiver room. I mean, just knowing Oklahoma State, it would be weird if our wide receivers suck. That's just not who we are. Because I think Dunn. Okay, so here's something. I think Dunn is about to make the leap. That's why I think Spencer is going to be better. Dunn's going to make the leap as a play caller, as a schemer. I think he's ready to make.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh,
I have no faith in Sanders whatsoever. He's going to do what he did last year, I think. I don't know what Dunn's going to do because it almost feels like Gundy's calling the plays, or I don't know. I don't believe
something. I don't know if it was to have the time to scheme. I don't know. But something flipped in that Notre Dame game. Yes, Spencer is all whatever during bowl games, but the play calling hasn't been that good in a long time.
And to be fair, he did do the same thing in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Spencer played really well, but the play calling wasn't that fast. It wasn't that accurate. It was, and like I said, I don't know if it was scheming or if it was the extra month plus to build for it. I don't know, but something flipped there. And if that switch can stay flipped, then I think we're going to have a really good, probably at best 10-2, but at least it's going to be fun to watch again. I think that could be the big difference. Instead of like hating every day, be going, oh God, but we're 10-2. Now it's going to be like, oh yeah, that was super fun. Even though we lost 47-43, that was fun to watch.
I had fun with watching the defense. I did too.
No, I did too. But I don't know. I grew up in the age of just pedal the metal, 1,000 miles an hour. If you can stop us, good luck, basically.
No, I mean, I did too, but I'm learning to enjoy defenses. And I think that's...
Well, no, it's been great. I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the defense. And maybe we could just get both together at one point. It seems like one or the other. One day they're going to intersect and be like, maybe. Because we saw what an elite defense will do for us. We finished fifth in the nation last year. We saw what an elite defense.
Yeah, we're going to find out. We're going to see what's going to happen this year. PFF, Pro Football Focus, just released their top 10 teams of college football. Do you want me to read them for you?
Sure.
This is the first time I've seen this. All right. Number one, Alabama. Number two, Shocker. Georgia.
Shocker.
Number three, Ohio State.
Shocker.
Number four, Clemson.
Shocker. Well, five, that's actually Michigan. A bit of a shocker. I think they'd be number four.
People are really high on Clemson this year. I'm kind of up and down about it. A&M is at six. Notre Dame is at seven. Oklahoma is at eight. Oklahoma State is at nine. Utah is 10. I don't know what they see. Because don't think Oklahoma's the top 10 team right now. Their starting secondary is gone. Trey Sterling, gone. Colby Harvell-Peel, gone. Christian Holmes, gone. Bernard Converse, gone. Their linebacking core is basically gone. Malcolm Rodriguez and Devin Harper, who played like 80-90% of the snaps, they're both gone. Your D-line looks good.
No, the D-line isn't good. They're going to be elite, especially on
those
edge rushers are going to be. But I agree with you. I mean, and I even said earlier, you lose those two guys in the middle of that defense who have basically been there since they changed the defense, that's going to be tough to overcome. But you also have to understand there's a lot of guys who have been there for a long time who don't basically know the system. But I don't even have a butt, really. Spencer, Breschert Sr. has got maybe another year left with COVID year. You know, it's still Oklahoma State. No matter, I mean, very few times, no matter how many times I've gone into the season talking to my friends, like, yeah, and I'm generally a more realist when it comes to Cowboy football. And I also got you the Hope Train hat. So looking forward to see you wearing that this year.
Oh, yeah. Have you sent that to me yet?
Not yet. I need to. But Gundy figures out a way to do it. He, with almost without fail. Almost. He puts
He has his ups and his downs.
Especially when he shouldn't. He puts out a 9-10-11 win team. That's what he does. And he shouldn't this year. This year should be a down year. And especially with how recruiting has changed, and especially with what he was saying about NIL and how that's not what we're going to do here. I can see that being a driving factor for a lot of kids. I am not that person, but I can play with them regardless. That I am better than people think, you know, that I can do this. And if Gundy, if anyone can pull that out of somebody, it's Gundy. It's going, look, you want to play hard. It's your stick, right? You want to be a man on this team. And that's one thing I always appreciate about Gundy more than, even though I did call you a kid earlier, because you are, but he treats those people.
21, dude.
He treats those people like men. He's like, you are men. You are here to do a job. Do your job. And we've seen it time and time again. Two stars go in the NFL. I mean, Malcolm, was he a walk-on? Like, what is...
It was a three-star safety.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We've seen it time and time again. So if anybody can do it with less, because he's done it with less forever, it's Gundy. He's done it with less forever. And there's a part of me, and I'm going to say it now. I'm going to speak it into existence.
Oh, no.
We're going to win Bedlam by 21.
No. 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 No.
They're depleted, man.
Oh, we got to end the pod right there. We got to end the pod. In the pod, right?
We're going to win Bedlam walking away. We might go 4-9, but we're going to win Bedlam walking away. Because you know Gundy's last shot in Norman, he's going to have those kids get ready to go. Sorry, those men ready to go.
They don't leave till 2025. They're not going to leave till 2025. So they get one more opportunity in Norman.
Still.
After this.
You know they're leaving early. They say they're not, but you know ESPN wants. Because you know how much money ESPN is paying for that stupid Longhorn Network? They're going to figure out a way to get them leave early.
We said this last year, and they're still here.
Hey, early. They're not gonna, early is before 2025.
By 20, you have jinxed. You've jinxed them.
No.
And I was thinking, I said one of the losses was going to be to Oklahoma. They're going to find a way. They always find a way. Dylan Gabriel is actually really good. I think he's going to be the best quarterback in the Big 12 this year. It's not happening. It's not happening. I hope that the cowboy grandfather himself finds this podcast, listens to it, and reacts, because it'll not be pretty. I'll tell you that.
All right. So July 19th, 2022, Jacob makes a prediction. You can all roast me in 4 months if I'm wrong. If I'm right, y'all owe me a beer.
All right.
You know, if I'm right, y'all see me like chugging a bottle of Dom on Twitter. Who's like, screw you guys. I told you so.
If you do, go for it. Be my guest. We're going to beat a team by 21 points that we've only beaten 19 times overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're too depleted. I honestly believe that.
And we aren't?
Not as bad.
We have Presley at wide receiver, those twins.
Look, it's still, how many games has Venerable's been a head coach for?
That part doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure Bob Stoops won his first Bedlam in 99.
It's different, man. Gundy, it's different, man. I don't
think it's that different.
Do you know how bad Oklahoma State was in 99, dude? I'm telling you. We're getting the whole train rolling early. Hop on board, motherfuckers.
No, I'm not. No. 9-3 Alamo. This is the 9-3 Alamo Bowl train. That's it. Wait, who? Okay, so if Oklahoma State's going 10-2, who are the two losses?
No, I just said even if they win 4-8, they're going to beat OU by 21.
But you said they were going to go 10-2.
Yeah, Texas and somebody they shouldn't lose to.
Oh, you have them losing to Texas.
Yeah.
Do you have Oklahoma State winning the Big 12?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could see OU go. I see them beating OU, but I could see OU only losing one game. I could see Baylor.
And you expect us to lose by 21? What?
I have broken in. I've done it. I have officially done it. I have broken.
It does. This doesn't add up. If OU loses one game and it's us by 21 plus,
it's still college football, man. It's still college football. Rivalries still matter. I'm telling you, I got the feeling.
Does that mean if OU, if that's their only loss, that means they would go to the Big 12? I guess they just wouldn't face us then.
I mean, if we're 10-2, yeah. Because I'm assuming Baylor only loses a game. Because Baylor is really good.
I think if we ever do a preview, which who knows at this point, I think the Big 12 championship will be Baylor and Oklahoma.
Which, if what I call it happens, yeah, it still could happen.
I guess it, yeah. I mean, I guess it's still. We got to go before I lose my mind again, man. I don't know. I am.
All right, Cowboys and Cowgirls, we will see y'all next time as Ian regains his composure and hopes to not slap me through my computer screen.